like to welcome everyone back to our service this evening. I was talking to some of the brethren before we services started and indicated that it seems to be much easier when I have an assigned topic than when I have one of these opens. I can tell you, working in an open, a lot of times I'll start and get about halfway through and then tear it up and start on another subject. I don't know whether you guys did the same thing. The lesson this evening, though, comes from a couple of situations that have happened recently. Talking to people from day to day, I had a young man bring up the subject of the Bible, and I was really busy at that time. We were at work, I was in my office, but he walked in to ask the question, and then he said something. I wish I could remember what he said, but I was really busy. And so I avoided, the question and went on about business, answered the question he asked, and then went on. And then I got to thinking about that after I had some free time. And I began to question myself, was I really that busy, or was it something else, And sure enough, I get home that evening and I start studying. The very first thing I do is open up the book to Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. Right there it says, the Apostle Paul, his encouragement, and we take this as encouragement. I did in reading the two verses. The Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so I begin to ask myself the question, are you ashamed, or were you really that busy? As the Apostle Paul writes the epistle to the Romans, he wrote of his desire to see them. He prays toward that purpose, and his desire to encourage through mutual edification. By this time, the Apostle Paul had already suffered a lot for the cause of Christ. He was banished from Antioch in Pisidia. In Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead. In Philippi, he was beaten and locked up. In Athens, the great philosophers ridiculed him. At Corinth, he was persecuted. At Ephesus, a mob almost killed him. Still, he is not afraid or ashamed to declare boldly the glorious gospel of salvation. He says he reckons himself in the debt of all men because he has received salvation and they haven't. Even at Rome, with all of its splendor and state of affairs, he eagerly desires an opportunity to declare the gospel. Cranfield, a British theologian, makes this observation concerning these verses. He says that it is not so much that the Apostle Paul is proud of the gospel, as it reflects his sober recognition of the fact that the gospel is something of which, in this world, Christians will constantly be tempted to be ashamed of. I got to thinking about that. In Mark 8, verse 38, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And in 2 Timothy 1, and verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." He goes on to say, "The presence of this temptation as a constant feature of the Christian life is inevitable, both on account of the world's continued hostility toward God and on the account of the nature of the gospel itself. The fact that God, because he willed to leave man room in which to make a free personal decision of faith rather than compel them, has intervened in history for men's salvation, not in obvious might and majesty, but in a veiled way which was bound to look to the world like hopeless weakness and foolishness. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Let us go to our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul was not ashamed, but felt the obligation to preach the gospel to everyone. In Romans 1 and verse 14, he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. The reason he felt obligated was due partly to the favor of God that God had shown him. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and verse 10, it says, For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So whatever opportunity was available to the Apostle Paul, he would take it. And even though he preferred to preach where Jesus had not been proclaimed before, so that he would not build on another man's foundation, according to Romans 15 and verse 20, the main reason Paul was not ashamed of the gospel is that in its discovery is the conditional plan by which God declares all men righteous. Paul says, For it is the power of God to salvation. The Greek word for power means strength, power, force, ability. In the New Testament, it's a manifestation or instance of power. The gospel then contains God's power or strength or ability to save men. The word salvation contains two concepts: rescue from the wrath of God, and also the gift of eternal life. So Paul is saying the gospel, or the good news about Jesus Christ, is God's power to rescue men from his own righteous wrath. And in addition, it is God's power given to those that are rescued and given the blessings of eternal life. This phrase is the key to salvation from sin. In all the New Testament, it is only the gospel that has the power to save men. The Bible says, for everyone who believes. The salvation offered to men in the gospel is available to everyone. In Titus 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Yet, God's offer of salvation in the gospel is conditional. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, there it says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. However, the fact is, all men will not be saved. Only those who choose of their own free will to accept the conditions of the gospel shall be saved. The Bible tells us that in the gospel, salvation is conditioned both upon faith. Notice in John 1 and verse 12, it says, But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The gospel is not only the power of God unto salvation, but it also reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Through the years, scholars have interpreted this expression, from faith to faith, in many ways. Matthew Henry, in explaining the righteousness of God from faith to faith, said this: "It is from the faithfulness of God's revealing to the faith of men receiving. It is from the faith of dependence upon God and the dealing with Him immediately as Adam did before the fall, to the faith of dependence upon a mediator and so dealing with God. From the first faith by which we are put into a justified state to after faith by which we live and continue in that state. And the faith that justifies us being no less than our taking Christ for our Savior and becoming true Christians according to the baptismal covenant. It is from the faith engrafting us into Christ to faith, deriving virtue from Him as our root." I like that. Many other scholars have a different meaning of that. I think Matthew Henry does a good job on that phrase. It reveals that the just shall live by faith, and how God is both just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. In Romans 3, verse 21 through verse 26, there it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus." From the Apostle Paul, we learn several reasons why we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. First, the gospel remains the same. It is still God's power to save. It is still the power to produce faith in the hearts of those who hear it. It is still the power to produce fruit in those who hear and know the truth. In Colossians 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you've heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." It remains the same in that it still reveals God's righteousness and salvation, of how Jesus died for our sins and how we can receive remission of our sins in Jesus through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through verse 4, there it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And in Acts 2, in verse 36 and through 38, there we read, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" The time passing has not weakened the power and the message of the gospel of Christ. Secondly, The need remains the same. Souls are still in need of salvation today. The Bible is very clear in Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6 and verse 23, there it says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Both wise and foolish, both near and far, Jesus is still the only way to the Father. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Even today, the gospel still needs to be taught to every creature. The passing of time has not lessened the need or the scope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those that are not ashamed of the gospel will feel a sense of obligation. First, to God who saved you. We are thankful for what God has done for us. Shouldn't this influence how we live our life? In Galatians 2 and verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Next, we should feel a sense of obligation to those that are lost. We are concerned about their eternal destiny, should they die in their sins, especially our family members. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 14 again, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. Will this not persuade us to do something? In closing, we have no reason to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is still the same gospel. It is still the power of God for salvation. It has the power to save souls of men, revealing the righteousness of God to those that are lost. May we never be ashamed of the gospel or of Jesus himself. Again, in Matthew 8 and verse 38, For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. I hope the lesson has been a benefit. It was an encouragement for me to study, especially after a couple of incidents I had. If there's one that is subject to the gospel, we ask that you would come forward as we stand and sing.